but the Premier League champions Liverpool still 15 points clear at the top with three games to go. Yes, it was frustrating and disappointing to lose this one today. The result has meant a lot more to Chelsea than it has to Liverpool with their Champions League aspirations. You can see that with the celebrations. Enzo Fernandez slotted Chelsea into an early lead. It was 2-0 when a Virgil van Dijk clearance in his own six-yard box hit Jarrell Kwanza and rebounded into the net. Van Dijk gave Liverpool hope with a header from a corner with six to play, but in stoppage time on a slot, put Van Dijk up front, but Liverpool with a bit of a defensive error, we conceded a penalty. Cole Palmer put it away. Nunez, Salah with a free header, and Van Dijk all should have scored as well. We could have got something out of it, but at the end of the day, it ends in defeat, but Liverpool are still champions! Chelsea 3, Liverpool 1.
Yes, Liverpool are still champions. That was Steve Hunter, and this is the reaction we'll be hearing from Arne Slot and Harvey Elliott too, as well as club legends Ronnie Whelan and Ray Houghton. First, though, to Stamford Bridge, where former Reds midfielder David Thompson watched the game with Peter McDowell.
It was an air of celebration at the end, but this ground has emptied quickly, whether that is more that they don't really want to reflect any longer on what Liverpool have achieved, or it's a chase for the tube. It's probably a mixture of the two. David Thompson was watching with us. It always hurts here to get beat, regardless of the situation that the Liverpool are in.
Yeah, it does, but it's always a difficult place to come anyway, regardless. But obviously, we've won the league and we didn't really try that hard today, did we? We struggled moving the ball quickly. The lads looked a little bit laboured. Second half, I thought we stepped it up. But, you know, fair play to them. They closed the spaces down. It meant a lot to them. They worked hard in midfield and they got the goal. So we had enough chances second half to turn it round. But, yeah, it's one of them. We'll accept it. But a good performance for Chelsea, and they'll be pleased with the 3 points because they're going to need it.
Yeah, can you understand it in the sense of, you know, Liverpool have been aiming for the obvious promised land for so long, having secured it last week? There can be a bit of mental fatigue when you've been so driven, so focused for so long.
Absolutely. I don't think people realise the levels of concentration needed to be successful in the Premier League. And obviously, we've tied it up last week. And all that emotion that goes with that, it's exhausting, all that nervous energy. So, you know, you can't blame the lads for being a little bit fatigued or taking the foot off the pedal a little bit and giving themselves a breather. They've had 2 or 3 days off in the week, you know, so that wouldn't have helped. But we'd have probably prepared the same way. But it meant a lot to Chelsea today. They desperately needed them 3 points. I think they play Man United, Newcastle and Forest their last game. So they needed them points today.
Might they have looked at this and thought, you know, if you're ever going to catch Liverpool on a good day, it's this.
They probably wanted to play us, you know. No one would be celebrating last week. So, yeah, a good time to play us, I'd say.
Familiarity has been a big part of Liverpool's season, hasn't it? In that we kind of know what team Arne Slot is going to pick. With the widespread changes today, sometimes that's the price you pay when we've had that familiarity all season, that maybe things don't link always the same way.
Yeah, I think the gaffer would have been wanting to have a look at a few people in his squad. And I thought Endo did all right today. He was one of the very few shining lights here. He was passing the ball quickly. Other players taking too many touches, but he was on the one and two touch. And whenever we did play the one and two touch, we opened them up a bit. But taking too many touches and allowing them to get back into the shape was what was causing our own problems, a bit like what's been causing them problems since December. It was our problem today.
What about the players that did come in? Lots of them looked disappointed when they came off. They will have felt this was a big opportunity for them to impress today.
I thought Endo did well. I thought Elliot was okay at times, but he struggled to get a foothold in the game.
Is that a tough position to play? That he was almost in the 10, wasn't he?
He was. Yeah, absolutely. And also, they were really tight. I thought Lavia patrolled that area quite well. Caicedo was stepping in. Not bad, is it, when you can send a £110 million midfielder to play right back? So, I thought they were good. I thought Enzo was decent as well in midfield. They're a strong midfield, to be fair. You've got to, you know, fair play. I take your hat off to them. And they wanted it more. They needed it more. And they managed to get off to a good start. And it gave them a lift, gave the crowd a little bit of a lift. But as the game went on, we got better and better. Curtis in the second half started to get a foothold on the ball and started to, you know, make an impact. But, yeah, I thought overall a bit of a lacklustre performance, but not too bothered because it's to be expected, really. Lads emotionally fatigued, I'd say.
Yeah. Will the manager be disappointed? He's been such a perfectionist all through the season, but will he allow himself to be slightly less so now?
Well, you could see he was still angry and upset on the sidelines about things. So, yeah, I think he will be a little bit disappointed, but not overly disappointed. He wanted to have a look at the new some of the lads who've not played so much. I was a little bit disappointed. You know, Chiesa only got 10 minutes. I thought the way he's played and with his reputation, I thought he deserved a little bit more of a look in. Whether he starts the next game, hopefully so. I know the fans really want to have a look at him. We know what he can do, what he's capable of. So he's just not had a look in since that Plymouth game, has he? And do you know what? That Plymouth game, I thought he was on the peripheral of the game, but he was waiting for the ball to be delivered to him. He played up front that day, or out wide. And the lads in midfield, they didn't have the best of games, so they couldn't get hold of the ball and get the ball to him. So in that respect, I do feel a little bit sorry for him.
He came on and they scored. Maybe it's no coincidence that he made a bit of a difference. Yeah. The one thing that was really great about today was the air of celebration. Liverpool fans came here intent on having a party, and did they have a party, regardless of the score?
Yeah, they did, and they really enjoyed themselves. And you know what? I was there on that left-hand side, quite close to them, was listening to all the songs, and you know, I was getting stuck into the dancing as well. So it was funny because all them Chelsea fans, they must have thought we were bothered about the result, but we weren't. They were just here to party, and that's what they did.
Absolutely they did, and the players were very pointed to go over to them at the end to say thank you. We are waiting for the Liverpool manager and maybe some reaction from the players, depending on how they feel at the moment, and we'll be back with you very soon.
Yeah, big thanks to Peter and to David for now. Ronnie Whelan and Ray Houghton are here with me in the studio. Lads, not to be today, but Ray, the scoreline, it felt a little bit harsh to me, I think. Liverpool pushed quite hard in that second half. Overall, just a frustrating afternoon.
Yeah, I think
overall,
the word I'd use is frustrating today. You know, there was good signs after having gone a goal behind, the way they reacted to get back into it. Maybe didn't create enough opportunities. But the one or two that they did should have done better. You know, there was a couple of headers that were well wide of the target where they could have, you know, at least put the goalkeeper under some pressure. And then the goals we gave away in the second half, the OG, there's not a lot you can do. You know, Virgil hits it off.
It's very unfortunate.
It's really unlucky. And then the third goal, you know, the penalty, clear your lines one. That's what you should do. You can't always play out from tight situations. But also with Kwanzaa, there's times when you've just got to stay on your feet. You can't always go in to try and win the ball. Penalty was given away and end up 3-1. I was looking at the stats, like Liverpool had 64% possession of the ball. So it just shows you, as much as you've got the ball, it's about what you do with it, how creative you're in the final third. And that would have been slightly frustrating today as well. They didn't do enough in the final third. I thought they gave it away rather easily on occasions. And it came back to the dynamic of the midfield had changed dramatically, you know, from last week to this week. Three new players in there. Normally what Liverpool played was we had two in front of the back four. So it's Gravenberch and McAllister. This week it went a little bit different. You know, they went with Endo in there and then they pushed Curtis higher up with Harvey. They were, you know, in a much more advanced role and left Endo on his own. And you could see that dynamic didn't quite work. And that's where we gave away the opening goal when Fernandes scored.
It's mitigating circumstances, that though, isn't it, Ronnie? Big changes in personnel. And you always run the risk, I suppose, of being a little bit disjointed if that's the case.
Yeah, a little bit disjointed. But players know the positions and they know where they should be. If you know, you can't be a centre midfielder and make a run forward and then knock it back. You've got to do the job that you've been told to go and do. I drove in the car today and I'm thinking, we've won the league and I'm just going to watch the match and I'm not going to get annoyed, and I'm so annoyed now. I can't believe, I know Kwanzaa's going to get a bit of stick tomorrow about the own goal and the penalty, but I can't believe at times, if you're a footballer and you see your centre-back going up front, the only thing that goes through your mind is, got to get the ball into the big centre-back that's gone up front. Curtis Jones has the ball, tries to play it out to Mo Salah, doesn't get there, and they attack and they nearly score. And then Szoboszlai in the right full back position, he knows the centre back is a centre forward, lash it up to him and see if we can win headers up there, pick the ball up there. No, he decides to play across his box, and poor old Joel Quanta is the one who was, I know what you're saying about reaching, but he's the one who was left to make the tackle that may have saved it. But I just finished the whole day because there were silly. Maybe people and players are mentally frayed now. They're just so tired. They've done their job, and I accept that. I've played in a few of them games myself, where you've done your job and you're not as tuned in as you should be. But I just got frustrated with it today that they could have come out of there with so much more than they did in the game.
Yeah, don't get too frustrated. Still champions, nothing's taking that away. But it is disappointing, I suppose, isn't it, to lose, right?
Critical,
you want to go out there and underline being
champions.
Yeah,
but you don't want to be too critical either of the players, because they put a lot of hard work in to get in the position that they have. You know, and there's going to be times in the last few games where maybe they're not quite up to the speed that they had been previously. That's normal. You know, that's normal. We've been in similar situations when we've won the league. The next few games after that, we haven't been quite as good as we had before. Now, that might be up to the manager to, you know, up the tempo, or the team that he's picking, make sure everyone's fully attuned to what they should be doing in the game. But it just looked like early on in the opening 15 minutes of the game, they were trying to find their positions. And that was a slight problem, because when you look at the run from Enzo Fernandez, no one's tracking him. And I was looking for our midfielders. Who's picking up? That's the first thing we would do as ex-players, because we'd be in a similar position. Where are you? Where should you be? And then I was just looking, and I thought that Harvey and Curtis just got caught a little bit too high up the pitch, and that left Endo isolated. And then the run for Fernandes, where he just held his run as he came into the box, got pulled back to him, and then it was a simple tap in for him. But it was avoidable, as were all the goals today. You know, the OG could have defended it better, and the penalty, I quite agree with Ronnie. There's times when you've got to put your foot through it. You know, get it up the field, you got it back to 2-1. You can see Chelsea, they made changes. They took off attacking players, brought on more defensive players to shore it up, to keep it at 2-1. Because as we've seen at the end of the game, Becky, the big difference from when we played to today is if you finish second, third, fourth or fifth, it didn't really mean a great deal, you know, because it was all about the biggest prize, which was winning. But because you get Champions League football now, you've seen the reaction of the Chelsea players. It was as if they'd won the league. They were all there together, because getting into the Champions League now is worth so much money to football clubs. It's a mainstay for them. They need it. They need that to invest in new players, to pay for the players that they've already got. So it's massive for them. And as you put the table up a little bit earlier, all of a sudden now, you know, there's three or four teams vying for them positions.
Yeah, it will be exactly the same with Arsenal next week, of course, who aren't guaranteed second by any means, Ronnie, at the moment. And that's the task Liverpool have now, I suppose, from now on the next game as
that
well.
Chelsea celebration at the end of the game, if I was the Liverpool manager, I would go to the players and go, look what it means to them. Don't let that happen with Arsenal next week. Let's be tuned in a bit better than we were today. They had plenty of chances to score goals. Let's take your chances. We've won the league, I know, and it's so far ahead as well, but you just get frustrated when players make silly mistakes.
Not used to it, and especially, as Ronnie said.
They have been brilliant all season, but it's just little things at times. Like Van Dijk is up front. That should tell everybody, you've got to launch it. Get it up to him and see where we are. But we won the league.
We've won the league.
I've just had to put up with that for an hour and a half with Stevie Hunter. I'm thinking every second word. Well, we've won the league, haven't we?
So, we have indeed. Do not forget that. We're going to get the opinion of our fan panel who are on Zoom. They've been watching that game down at Stamford Bridge. Joel Richards, Matt Ladson and Abubakar Azalea with us from the official Liverpool Supporters Club in Monaco. Joel, firstly, cheer us up, because you've just become a new dad this week. And Liverpool's newest supporter is right there on your knee. Welcome, Cece.
Yeah, welcome, Cece, indeed. So, little Cecilia made her way into the world on last Friday, 9 days ago. So, 25th of April, in the early hours of the morning.
Just in time for the celebrations.
Yes. Just in time. We managed to get her and mum out of hospital on Sunday afternoon. And we were back in time for kickoff. We were all set on the couch, although I had to make another dash to the hospital to get my wife's charger. She forgot a phone charger. But I got back in time for kickoff. And then as the final whistle went last week, we had a little celebration. And I had little CC in my arms just as the final whistle went. So if I couldn't be at Anfield, this was the next best thing. And halfway across the world with my newborn daughter, I couldn't have asked for anything more. Oh, and my wife as well, of course.
Of course. Don't forget the wife. Fatal mistake. Listen, I think that's what we all needed. Did she sleep through this afternoon's game, Joel, or did she wake up?
She wasn't really impressed. I mean, during midway through the second half, we had a tactical bottle feed, so she didn't need one while for this appearance. But I wonder, is she probably perhaps the youngest ever person to appear on LFC TV? Is that some kind of effort that we can have?
Do you know what? I think she may well be. It takes some beating, 9 days, I think.
And, you know, this could be the first of many on-screen TV appearances. And who knows, Becky, maybe in a few years, she might be able to come and shadow you on Work Experience.
Anytime. She is most welcome.
If she wants, or if she wants, she can maybe, hopefully, get a trial for LFC Women in a few years to come. Who knows? She can be whatever she wants to be, and we'll see how we get on with her.
Let's
and if she wants
up.
To support the Reds too, she can.
Let's sign her up. It has been lovely having both of you on. Listen, I can't move on without getting your thoughts on the game.
Yeah, it was, I think, I don't want to use the cliche, but I may as well use it before someone else does, the old classic after the Lord Mayor's parade. And maybe, you know, it was a bit of that. I think I've heard what Ronnie said. And to be honest, I am disappointed we lost today, because I didn't want to lose more than twice in the season, because I think that was a record that Liverpool could have had today. I think Ronnie and Ray's team from 87, 88, I think they had the fewest defeats in a season where a Liverpool team's won the title. So I would have liked the current team to have matched that. And then, of course, you know, I want this team to break 90 points. I want them to get over 90 points, and the maximum we can get now is 91. So that's still a possibility. But, you know, I would like to see a response next week against Arsenal. And I would, because we're at Anfield, you know, I expect us to be a lot better and, you know, to finish the home form off in style. Because, again, we've only lost once at Anfield this season, and I'd like it to stay that way in terms of the league, of course. So, yeah, and I think the one positive to come from today was, I think we kept up our record of scoring in every away game this season in the league. So, you know, there's only one Premier League game we failed to score in. So that's a slight crumb, even though, obviously, you know, you want to win the game if you score a goal. So, yeah, and I've got the match stats here in front of me as well. The fact we only had two shots on target, that was a bit, again, another disappointing factor about today. But, you know, Chelsea, they deserve the victory. Palmer, he's been in a bad run of form lately, and that was another thing that at the end when they got the penalty for, so we're just about to hand him his first goal in, I think it's 12 appearances or something like that. So, you know, we've handed out gifts this week where Tottenham handed us one of the biggest gifts of all last week in the performance that we had. So, yeah, it was not an ideal day, but at least in the grand scheme of things, it hasn't harmed us majorly. And as I said, maybe next week we're back at Anfield and let's continue the party and let us throw down the gauntlet for next season against the side that we probably are going to go toe-to-toe with again next season in the shape of Arsenal. So, yeah, let's not let them come to Anfield and get a win, even though, again, doesn't mean anything. And let's get to 90 points. That should be the aim for the rest of the season.
Abu Bakr, we'll move on to yourself. You've been watching over in Morocco. What were your thoughts on today? Was it a tough watch at times, but also a lot of fighting spirit shown as well at times too?
Exactly. Actually, I believe that the result doesn't give us a proper reflection of the game in a way that we weren't abysmal or anywhere near that. It's just that it wasn't our day. And I can say that playing with three different players in the midfield, and we used to play with Maka, Gravenberg and Szoboszlai for, I don't know, like 34 matches in a row. And then you start totally different midfield. And in the first 5-10 minutes when we were caught with the goal, it was, as said, no one from Jones or Elliot track back there, the Enzo. And that's why we conceded the goal. It's bitter, frustrating, but when you see the bigger picture, doesn't mean anything in a way that we won the league. We see the Copite celebrating in London in Stamford Bridge, and it means more than just losing a game or a draw. But in general, winning the league, it feels different even for the players. You can see that they are professional, they are giving everything, but at the same time, they are a little bit relaxed in a way that they know that they prefer to not be injured than just going on for every collision with any player in one-on-one, second balls. And it's explained why we lost the game, actually. It's not about the performance. It's not about the willing to win the game. It was just because it's the post-celebration game, and it's totally normal. I believe last time when we won the league, we've lost against Man City 4-0, and practically it's the same, but let's win the next game against Arsenal in Anfield.
Yeah, we'll speak about Arsenal a little bit later on in more depth. But Matt, I'll come to you finally, get your thoughts on today. You'll probably echo the thoughts of the lads. There were positives to take. Overall, it's not going to take the shine off what's been the most incredible week.
Yeah, exactly. I think I'm most invested in whether Joel, if his baby had arrived like 36, 48 hours later, and what might have happened there. That would have been an interesting one.
Would have been a dilemma for him, definitely.
I'll answer that later.
Yeah, but going back to today, like I was quite surprised that he made six changes. Obviously, when Arne Slot spoke in his press conference about making changes and giving opportunities to some players that maybe he felt could have played a little bit more earlier in the season, I kind of expected it would be two or three today and then two or three next week. But maybe what we're going to see is like next week against Arsenal, almost back to full strength 11 again at home. And like Joel said, it kind of lays down that marker again, ready for next season, because, you know, Arsenal are probably going to be in and around, or at least aiming to be. So I think that the result, yeah, doesn't matter. It's a little bit like any other defeat this season. It all pales into comparison. At the end of the season, it's just a tiny, tiny blot on the copybook. But there's maybe a few players that will feel a little bit disappointed that they didn't quite sort of take the opportunity or the audition that they had in effect, a little bit like that Plymouth game. So it was a surprise that there was a totally new midfield, because I kind of feel that's a little bit difficult for, say, like somebody like Harvey Elliott coming in and then having to play not alongside like the regular midfield. I'd love to see how Elliott performs when he's got Gravenberch and McAllister alongside him. So yeah, a little bit disappointing, but no one's going to care or remember about it even in a week's time, thankfully.
Yeah, let's get your thoughts on Harvey first of all, and we'll go through a few players who came in today and will have wanted to grasp their chance. Ronnie, it was his first Premier League start of the season, got 70 minutes under his belt. A few tough moments for him in the opening stages, I think.
It's so difficult, his first Premier League start, to get up to speed. You know, everybody's sharp around him. He wasn't getting on the ball as much as I'd like to see him get on the ball and create chances, more passes. It was just a very difficult day for him. He's a better player than he showed today, most definitely. But I don't think he wants to go anywhere. I don't think the way he is, Liverpool's his club. He always says this. I wouldn't like to get rid of him. This lad's still only 21, 22. He's played hundreds of games. He's got so much to offer. I'd like to see him after a run of, say, give him a run of 10, 12 games in the first team. You'd see a much different player after that.
I just thought coming in today, with him getting his chance, that he would have really thought, right, what have I got to do to impress the manager? And one of the things he didn't do was he looked sharp. He didn't look sharp. So early on, when the ball came to him, he got caught in possession, he got caught in his heels. So to me, it didn't look like he was up to speed of where he should have been. So if coming into today's game, I would have known, Ronnie would have known, we're playing Chelsea. Chelsea need to win to get into the top five, to get into the Champions League spot. They're going to come out quick. They're going to go out quick. I've got to be quick. So everything I do has got to be quick. I can't take too much time in possession of the ball. And you can see a few times when balls were played into him, they got caught on and he's turning around to the others. If they say, that's what he's got to try and get out of his game as quickly as possible. I agree with Ronnie. I like him. I think he has a real impact when he comes on or if he starts game normally. I thought today he just wasn't quite at it earlier on in the game. He got better as the game went on.
But
it's difficult because there's been the whole dynamic of the midfield changed. And what I mean is the three personnel that was in there and also the way they play. We go back to normally you play with two in front of the back four and one ahead of them. Today we went with just Endo in front of the back four and we pushed Harvey a little bit higher up the pitch and Curtis, which just changed the way that we normally play. And it just took the lads a little bit of time after the first 10 minutes. And then after that, they were OK, they were fine. We didn't have enough shots to go, but we mentioned only the two on target. But that wasn't through the fact that we crossed the ball in and it was like just inches away or a Chelsea player got a touch on it. It was like one of them moments or times in the game. It nearly came off. It was nearly a great ball, nearly got in there, but wasn't quite. But I just want to see if they get another chance next week, the same players, that training goes well, and they're up to speed, ready to go, because Arsenal might need a big result if they go out of the Champions League on Wednesday as well.
Yeah, I mean, to defend Harvey, like Ronnie says, I suppose it's that catch-22 where you only get that sharpness when you are playing games regularly. So it is very difficult to come in and have that instantly, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You know, I'm not. But what I'm saying is, if I'd been out of the team for a while and I was getting my chance today, playing against Chelsea, I would have been thinking to in my head, before the game is played, I'd be thinking, I've got to do everything quick. Chelsea are going to be on top of me because they're at home. They need the win. So I'm not going to have as much time in possession of the ball as I would like. So I'm going to play it sharply. As it comes to me, I'm already thinking where my next pass is going because I don't want them to get too tight and rob me of the ball. And then I'm on the back foot and I'm thinking, oh, I've made a mistake. And then you're not as confident as you might be. That's all. As I said, after the first 10 minutes, I thought Liverpool got really into the game and they were in control of the first half. They had better possession, they moved the ball sharper, they looked threatening. The only thing they didn't do was create enough chances with the possession that they had. You know, it wasn't for them to want to try. Now, look, you couldn't fault any of the lads today for the energy, the effort, the commitment. None of that. No one could complain about that today. It was just there was little mistakes that caused Chelsea to get the goals. That was it. And that's where we're being critical, because we want them to be the best that they can be. Well, we certainly, Ronnie and I certainly believe that Harvey has got a massive future still at the club. He's young. He's got the experience of being in the team and around the squad for quite a while now. He wants to improve. He wants to get better. And the more he does that and he comes back pre-season, gets himself up to speed. Because he was really unfortunate, because he started last pre-season really well. Went to America and he picked up an injury, didn't he? And then that just hampered him a little bit. But yeah, that's. I'm trying to just say things where I would try to help him. That's absolutely nothing more than that. I'm not being critical of him. I'm just trying to say, be ready. When you're going to get your chance, be ready. Be on your game from minute one. As soon as you get out there, I'm ready to go. And show that quality, which we all believe that he's got. Show that quality that you've got. And if he does that, there's no problem.
And we will hear from Harvey Elliott very soon indeed. For now, though, we will be back after this short break. Just a quick break in today's show to let you know that Liverpool FC and Nike have launched a new Air Max collection, officially revealed and endorsed by the men's team. The collaboration was part of their stadium arrival fits and warm-up kit for the 1-0 win in the Merseyside derby. The apparel range includes jackets, tracksuit bottoms and T-shirts, all featuring the LFC Liverbird and Air Max logos. Now, the collection is available right now in our Anfield store and L1 store as well, online too on store.liverpoolfc.com and on the official LFC store app as well. Now let's get back to the show. Welcome back. Not to be in the end for Liverpool today, beaten 3-1 by Chelsea down at Stamford Bridge. Let's get a word now with someone who got their first Premier League start of the season this afternoon. It's Harvey Elliott.
Harvey, what did you make of that today? It's been a long, emotional week. You'll be disappointed to lose the game, I imagine.
Yeah, you know, the celebrations went on for a few days. I think it kind of showed in our performance today. You know, it wasn't up to our standards, our intensity, you know, with and without the ball. We were nowhere near how good we've been this season. But, you know, one thing is the supporters were the same as how they've been all season. You know, they were incredible and they were non-stop throughout the whole game. So at least, you know, they've been the normal people today.
They were obviously very intent on winning today. Lots riding on it from their point of view. Never really tested the keeper, did we, in the first half, and probably tried to make that the big change in the second half.
Yeah, I think the first half was very hard. You know, it was hard to kind of find the space to create the chances. I think we had a few counter attacks and you know, they kind of just fizzled out, but we reflected on that on half time, and I think second half there was a massive change. I felt like you know, we all clicked into gear, and you know, I felt myself personally there was a few things that were, you know, going for me, and a few half chances, you could say. But I think as a whole, second half we were a lot better. Obviously the skipper got the goal to make it 2-1. But, you know, I think it was just a little bit too late. But something we can reflect on throughout this week. And, you know, it's another big test on Sunday against Arsenal to to go and make it right. So let's hope we can do that.
Is mental fatigue a thing at this stage of the season when you have been so driven, so intent on the target? You know, sometimes the brain is a muscle as well, isn't it? And you have to forgive yourself for that sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's hard to kind of, you know, not think about what we've achieved this season. And, you know, I think every human being is in our shoes now is very relaxed, very composed. And, you know, all that stress and hard work throughout this season to try and make it, you know, an achievement, and we've now done it. It's kind of, say it's relief, but, you know, at the same time, we still have three more games and we need to make sure that we put 100% into it. We can't be slacking, you know, as I felt like we did a little bit today. We need to go out and put in top performances to, not only for us, but to show why, you know, we are champions, and, you know, we need to do that again next week.
Three tough games, no doubt about it. One more away, two more at Anfield, and you know the carnival will continue, hopefully. There's always big pressure on performing well at Anfield.
Yeah, there is, and I think there's no better place to go and put it right on home turf, and especially with our home crowd behind us again. You know, it's going to be, as I said, a very tough game. Arsenal are still fighting for a lot, and you know, as I said, you know, it's going to be really, really hard. We just need to make sure that we prepare well. You know, focus on where we went wrong today, and make sure we don't make them mistakes next week.
There's a fan deep down in your heart at the start of that. You were the one that went over to them right before kickoff to show your appreciation at the end, right throughout the game. They were intent on a party, the fans today.
Incredible. I felt like jumping in and joining them, to be honest. You know, at least maybe my emotion could have switched a little bit, but I think, you know, it just sums them up. For me, we have the best fans in the world, and each and every game they show it, and today is, you know, another example from the warm-up to the end of the whistle, and I think after the game as well they were cheering, singing. You know, it's just pure enjoyment and happiness, and you know, it's just incredible to play in front of, and it's just moments like that, you know, it's, you're just so happy to be a Red, and you want to leave everything out there for them.
Yeah, and understandably slightly downcast, Harvey Elliott. He's always one of the first, Ronnie, to stand up and shoulder some responsibility when things maybe haven't gone the team's way. And he only turned 22 last month, which people forget he's younger than Jarrell Kwanza by a few months. And he speaks with a maturity way beyond his years.
He does. Very good. Said it as it was there. Probably the celebrations were a bit too much, and they... It happens. You have a drink or two more than you would have had. But I'm sure they would have all been ready to play today. But I think when you do something different off the pitch, you bring it onto the pitch with you. You're not ready, you're not right. And I think we've seen that a bit with some of them today.
It was nice to see that after the game that they were annoyed. You know, the team were annoyed with the performance. They were very frustrated with how they went into the game and how it transpired during the course of the 90 minutes. Nicely reflected on the fans. The fans were there because they're overjoyed at what they've seen.
I think they still enjoyed the day out.
And they'll go back to, like, you know, we can't fault the attitudes of the players to me. I thought the commitment was there. I thought they would try to do the right things. It just didn't come off on occasions. But no reason to, you know, to berate them at all. You know, they've been absolutely magnificent this season. And today they were up against a Chelsea side who needed to win. You know, you look at the games that Chelsea have got, Leicester have got really high profile matches. They're trying to get into the top five to get into a Champions League place. So the onus was on them to come out and attack
Liverpool. Yeah, there's a lot riding on it for them,
then,
of course.
You know, whether the boys party too much or not, I'm not really bothered, because at the end of the day, it's about winning the league. And that's what they've done. They've been the best side by far for the season.
Hopefully we are going to hear from the boss on a slot before the show is out, but we're heading straight back down to Stamford Bridge now. We're going to hear again from Peter McDowell. He's getting the thoughts of David Thompson.
Well, there's been lots of players passing by, looking for supporters who've made their way, their merry way, on their way back to Liverpool, or some of them London-based, of course, Liverpool fans. But we just caught a chat with Harvey Elliott there before. It's nice having you with us, actually, because you've been in that position the same as him. It probably feels like 5 minutes ago. It's important that players who do get these rare opportunities don't get too frustrated by it in these next couple of weeks, I imagine.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that we were talking about then, is not to be frustrated, and when them opportunities come, is try to be at the top of your game, and difficult for him today. I felt a little bit sorry for him because our lads wanted to play a slow game and he was finding space early and he was getting good opportunities. Our lads taking too many touches and then not spotting them. And then all of a sudden they come over and pick you up. They go man for man. We allowed them to get back into shape. So it was a difficult game for him. And he knows he's got to take that opportunity with both hands. And he's probably feeling now, I've not done myself justice. Will I play in the next game? Probably not now. So that is the frustration. But he's just got to realise he's done well. Every opportunity this season, he's done well. The fans will see that. The manager and the coaching staff will see that. And just to keep going. And don't make rash decisions. I made a rash decision one day. I went knocking on the manager's door. I thought, you don't respect me. You don't want to play me. You're picking people ahead of me. And I want to leave. Don't make rash decisions. Be patient. He's working with good people. He's having good opportunities. And even today was a great opportunity to come in and play at Chelsea. Just keep going. Keep ticking along. And he's got 100% faith in his own ability because he's an absolutely sensational little player. And he's got that little bit of the narkiness about him, which Liverpool fans love. So just keep going and just keep waiting for your opportunities. Don't get frustrated and don't make rash decisions. You're in a great place and you've been great for two seasons. Obviously, it's frustrating for him. He's being managed a little bit different. Obviously, with the love that Jürgen used to give him, he'd put his arm round him, he'd come and have a laugh and a joke, he'd give him his cuddles. Doesn't seem to get that tender love and care from the gaffer. It's a different... See, he's going to have to learn how to adjust and how to react to different managers because he's early on in his career and he's only young, even though he's experienced and achieved a lot. You know, he's still learning. He's only 20. He's played over 100 games for Liverpool Football Club. That's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
With the lads in the studio and, you know, perennial winners, and although the squads are a lot smaller than it was, the best 11 that played every week, but that must be one of the hardest parts when you're part of a successful squad and you're not playing as often as you want to. Like you say, to just keep that patience and go, at the end of the day, we are a successful squad together. You're selfish, aren't you, as footballers? You want to be in that team every week.
Well, you want to be in it and you want to be feeling like you deserve to be in it and want to be contributing. Well, he is contributing, you know. It's like, even though it might be a little bit coming on here 10, 15 minutes there, he's only 20 years of age. He's still got so much to learn and so much to achieve. Just be patient. You're in a great place. You're in with great coaches. Just be patient. Don't make any rash decisions. And he will be a part of it. He will feel a part of it. And he does contribute. He's a cracking little player. Every time he comes on, he excites me. He excites the fans. So just keep going. Just keep going.
One thing that Jurgen Klopp and Pep Linders used to always say is each year you have to adapt. You have to be a different proposition next year. And inevitably, this Liverpool team will have to be different next year. Whatever that is, the coaches will bring in something new about Liverpool.
1,000,000%. And obviously we'll have some money to spend because we haven't spent in the transfer. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to strengthen. Just because you go out and buy new players doesn't necessarily mean that you're a stronger squad. You could weaken the squad. You bring in different personalities. You know, people don't like them. People can be abrasive. So it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to improve the squad by spending money. But obviously there is succession planning that needs to take place. And I know the recruitment team will be doing that. I know how Richard Hughes operates
There's your lift home.
Yeah, here I am. Yeah, I know how they operate, so they will be succession planning. You know, people talking about left back, we need a centre forward. And even Diogo Jota today, I don't think he had his best game. You know, he looked a little bit off the pace and he looked, you know, a little bit short of fitness and didn't look as dynamic as he... And I don't think that's his position. I don't think he feels that's his position. He wants to play left or right, but it's difficult for him, so he'll be frustrated as well. But these are the opportunities that you need to take, don't you? You need to, you know, put yourself forward so you can speak to the manager, but I don't think he's got a case to go and speak to the manager now because his performance was poor.
He won't change anything this week, will he? The manager, when all of a sudden have them in running tomorrow, he will be, you know, very appreciative of what they've achieved this season. But what he will also be aware of is they can't lose against Arsenal at Anfield next week.
I think that's one thing. He'll give them he'll let them have a little bye with this one. But the game against Arsenal, he'll be looking to turn things round and put some more points back on the board. That'll be one that he won't like to lose because he knows what Arteta's like. So Arteta will be up for it anyway. He'll want to win at Anfield. He'll probably be having your never walk alone playing around training again like he normally does. But he'll probably go back to his tried and trusted formula, the same 11. and go from there. He'll want to get stuck back into it. He's given that little week off. He's given the lads who've been on the outskirts a little reward today by playing. But they've not got the result, unfortunately, so he'll probably go back to his old tactics.
We go again next week. Weather's turned all kinds of different ways, hasn't it, today? You're shivering there. You need your big coat on. And we'll wait for the manager with it in between. Tomo, always great to see you.
Pleasure, as always.
And back to you guys in the studio.
A big thanks to David and to Peter once again. Back to Ronnie and Ray in the studio here. We spoke about Harvey Elliott, of course, before. Let's have a word on Jarrell Kwanza now. I think a really unfortunate afternoon, wasn't it, for Jarrell? Overall, a bit of a learning curve for Kwanza this season. Ronnie, it's been tough at times.
I was very interested when Jarrell started playing for Liverpool because he'd been on loan at Bristol. My nephew was playing with him at centre-back. And I used to speak to my father-in-law and ask about this kid from Liverpool. And the way they talked about was he's not the greatest player ever. And he's not the greatest player ever. But he's a very, very capable centre-back, right-back, wherever you're going to play him. He's one of those that goes out and gives his heart and soul every game.
Yeah.
I thought he made a couple of mistakes today by trying to dribble out of defence, and there was no need. He kept getting caught. He got caught out twice. Take that away. I don't blame him for either of the goals. I know Ray said he shouldn't have dived in, and I accept that, but he was put in a situation by somebody who should have known an awful lot better than just get up there. But he had injuries. He's come back. The manager seems to like him because he plays him an awful lot when he feels that he's ready. I wouldn't be looking for him, or hopefully he wouldn't be looking to go anywhere now at the end of the season, that he's part of Liverpool. He's played a lot of games and might force his way into the team next season.
Yeah, it's funny when Ronnie speaks there about his time at Bristol, because that rise was quite stratospheric, really, wasn't it, when you think of last season? Obviously started the season, of course, that game at Ipswich is essentially first choice alongside Virgil, Ronnie. Yeah. It will be a season of ups and downs for him, I suppose,
yeah,
he will assess
curve.
It, but one that he will take a lot of lessons
from.
Yeah,
I think so. I think he'll take a lot from this season. He'll be frustrated. We use that word quite a lot today, but there's been a few players that have been on the periphery and probably felt that they might have got more time on the pitch. That wasn't the case. I like him. I mean, I've spoken to him on numerous occasions when we've been at matches. Really lovely lad. He's got a great attitude to the game, wants to do really, really well for Liverpool Football Club. And I think what you'll say is a lot of things have gone badly for bad luck, you know, like the OG today. I mean, there's nothing he can do about it. You know, it's ricocheted off him. He can't make himself invisible. And then obviously the penalty, Ronnie's quite right in the sense that he should have been clear downfield. But all I would say, look, you don't always have to win the ball. There's times in the box where you've just got to be patient. You know, you can't go and win it. I don't think it was going to affect the game anyway. I think at that stage, with that late on, Chelsea were going to just probably edge it 2-1 anyway. It ended up being 3-1 when Palmer scores from the penalty spot. But I wouldn't be any rush to let the lad go. I think he's got a lot to offer. I think what he'll do now is he'll go back, he'll reflect in the summer, he'll have a good pre-season, and he'll be ready for the fight to try and get into the starting 11 next season. A bit like Harvey. I think they've got lads who genuinely, they've got Liverpool in their blood. They want to be a success. And I think players like that, you need to keep them, because at some stage you will use them, because they're very good players and they've got really good attitudes, and they want to do well at the club. And I think that's usually important as well.
Yeah, we'll bring our fan panel back in, because Joel, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm sure you would echo the sentiments of the lads there. And as we say, you know, like Harvey, he's only 22 years old. Jarrell, as a centre-back, his best years are very much still ahead of him.
Yes, they definitely are. And I think with centre-backs, obviously they mature the older they get. So you look at a Virgil van, like if you want inspiration, then look at Virgil van Dijk. I mean, where about was Van Dijk in his career when he was 22? Was he still back in Holland, or did he make the move to Celtic by then? Either way, he wasn't a world-class centre-back at that age. I'd bet my bottom dollar. And I think the journey is bumpy. There's a lot of bumps in the road. And the last season was his breakout year, and he was a revelation, really, wasn't he? Because he came from nowhere, and the lads are right. He rose to prominence to the point where he ended the last season as first choice centre back, and he looked really good. There was times where he was calm and composed, and okay, he even had a couple of mistakes last season too. But you put that down to the inexperience, and it's the same as happened this season. Now, obviously, I think I spoke about him on one of the post match shows earlier this season with Gary Gillespie. I think it was after Brighton away in the League Cup, and he didn't have a particularly great night there either. But it's been a learning curve for them. I think maybe, obviously, he entered the season on a high. He even got in the provisional England squad for the Euros, didn't he? So he was riding the crest of a wave, and then obviously the start of the season doesn't go as he hoped. And ever since then, he's obviously been fighting his way back into the side. But it's not like he hasn't played at all. The lads are right. He came in from time to time. He had to play it as a makeshift right back on certain occasions. I remember Newcastle away, obviously the cup final as well. So, but he has had his difficult moments, but hopefully he's got the mentality and the character to bounce back from this season. And, you know, it's been far from a disaster. It's just, again, I go back to the same thing. It's all about his development. It's all about his learning. And he's hopefully got a long career. Now, I know there's been some speculation in recent months about his future at the club, but me personally, I wouldn't look to be moving him on anytime soon. I think he's more than capable of being, if not a first-choice starter for us, definitely being a squad player for us. And he will get his moments. He will definitely, if he carries on the way he is, he will get games next season. And let's face it, you know, there's going to be a time where Van Dijk's going to start playing less games for the club. So he's got to have that in mind, that he's got to be ready. And whether he's going to be partnering Canate or whether he partners Gomez, if Gomez comes back next season, he's going to get games if he's in and around it. So, yeah, it's a wait and see with Quanta. But as I say, I won't be too quick to hammer him this season. I think it's just one of them, and with a bit of luck, he comes back from it, and we see the player that we saw last season and the player that Jurgen Klopp put a lot of faith in to give him minutes last season.
Yeah, he's still got so much to give, hasn't he, Jarrell Kwanzaa? We move on to Arsenal next weekend, Ray, which I think has a whole different look to it, that mm-hmm. game, doesn't it? Arsenal at Anfield. Liverpool are going to want to put in a big performance and really underline that status as
champions.
Yeah,
I'm sure the manager will be smarting after today. As we said, he gave a lot of the French players their opportunity. Will he do that next week against Arsenal? It'll be interesting. Arsenal have got PSG, as we know, on Wednesday in the second leg of the Champions League semi-final. If they get knocked out, how does that dent their confidence? Because when you look at the league, the others are catching them up. You know, that's one of the things at the moment. They're getting a lot closer to Arsenal at the moment. And if they had a bad ending to the season, could they miss out? I mean, it didn't look that way. They were odds on to at least finish second. They were close to Liverpool for a number of weeks. And Liverpool, the last month or so, 6 weeks, have just gone away from Arsenal. Arsenal's form has really dipped in the league. I think there's 3 draws, 1 defeat and 1 win in the last 5 league games.
Yeah, 6 points from the last 15,
Yeah, it's not been good at all, and they'll be fully understanding of that. But they'll say to you that they've been looking at the Champions League and getting to the final, which will still be very tough for them. But I think Liverpool at home, it's amazing, the game of football, isn't it? We've gone from the euphoria last Sunday of winning the league and scoring 5 against Tottenham to today we're talking about young players and are they going to be with the club or not? That's a week in football, how it changes so dramatically. And I'm not quite into that. I think let the manager, you know, do his job. He'll be looking at who he wants to keep and not to keep. Today, you know, it was just frustrating. That's the only word I would use about today. I wouldn't be critical of the players at all. No. About what happened today. They'll be disappointed with their own performances. They'll know that they've got a lot more to offer than they showed today, and they will do if they get another opportunity next week.
Yeah, I'm sure they will offer that in spades at Anfield next Sunday. I want to get your thoughts on not just the game, Matt, but the guard of honour before the game. Obviously, Chelsea have participated today. Arsenal are not duty-bound to do so, but you would imagine they certainly will give Liverpool a guard of honour at Anfield. A lot of talk on this week. What's your take on it? Sometimes players who've even been on the receiving end of them say they find them a little bit painful at times, and obviously Arsenal will definitely find it painful, I would imagine. What's your take?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I don't think I've ever heard like the debate around it up until this week, or once Liverpool are going to be given so many guard of honours. You know, it's a tradition, and it was quite nice actually pre-match that the Chelsea manager obviously said that it's a tradition in Spain as well, and that he actually received one as a player from Real Madrid when Sevilla beat whoever they beat in the Europa League final. And, you know, he received one. He sees it as a tradition as well. So I don't think it's just a Premier League or an English thing. I think that Liverpool fans are massively looking forward to that Guard of Honour at Anfield next week. I do, like I say earlier, anticipate that the manager goes back to probably more like our full strength team for that reason, that it being Arsenal. And then that would be a very satisfying victory to get one over them and maybe make their life a little bit trickier, in that they could end up looking over the shoulder at even struggling to finish in the top three, to be honest. They've got Newcastle to play after they play us. So, yeah, it could be an interesting little end to the season that they end up finishing third in a fourth, even in a two-horse race.
Yeah, they're by no means guaranteed at a top three spot, Arsenal, at the moment. Abu Bakr, let's get your thoughts on it. Liverpool's perspective next Sunday, what you expect to see from Arne Slot, bearing in mind a lot of changes this week. I think the lads were saying that school of thought is we'll probably see a more familiar lineup next Sunday. What would you like to see at Anfield against Arsenal?
Indeed, actually, I believe that Arne will go full strength team. Because actually our record against them, Arno, in the last four or five games isn't that good. And they wanted to be the champion contender, but now we are the champion. So basically for them, it's more than just a normal game. They want to win against the champion. And actually even the mid game in the Champions League will define their willingness to go into this game. Wanting to rest in players for the final of the Champions League, or just going full strength against us as well. I can see even the fans now with the trend of social media that there is some banters between fans. And I think that Liverpool fans, if you ask them any game that they don't want to lose, is against Arsenal. I can tell you that for sure.
Yeah, you're definitely right there. I mean, we say about them finding it painful to give a guard of honour, Ronnie. They will find it incredibly more painful if they've just gone out of the Champions League to PSG as well on Wednesday night. I mean, that is an incredibly tough night that awaits them. Liverpool did that, of course, in the Parc de France, got a win. How do you see that going for them?
It's such a tough game. They are such a good team at home. You know, they don't travel really, really well, but they travel well enough. But it's such a hard game going away to Paris and coming away with a result. I personally, I'm not bothered. I just want us to be. Me and Ray played in 89. I still haven't got over this 89 one. I just want to absolutely batter them next weekend at home and then just take any cup and just show it to them and say we've won the league. Because that 89 still kills me.
And still hurts.
It hurts, and I just hope Liverpool batter them when they play them.
I mean, I think so say all of us, right?
Yeah, well, look, listen, the onus will be on Arsenal because they'll know the results of the other matches, that the teams that are close to them and the points difference and what they need from the game at Anfield. But Liverpool will be smarting with a defeat today. They won't be happy with that. The manager won't be happy with that. There'll be an expectation that they'll go out against Arsenal and put on a real performance, as they did against Tottenham last weekend. They want to finish the season high, I'm sure. Not that it matters, because at the end of the season, whether they've got a guard on or not, it wouldn't bother me, because at the end of it, you've got the trophy, no one else has, and that's what it's all about, winning that league title and the 20th one at that.
OK, before we wrap things up on the reaction, there is just time to hear from the boss. Here's what Arne Slot has had to say to the media in his post-match press conference.
Arne, what was your take on the game?
Nothing good comes from losing a game of football. But if I have to take the positives, there were definitely a few positives. So dominating ball possession at Stamford Bridge is not what many teams do over here, because Chelsea is so comfortable with the ball as well. Being 2-0 down, don't give up. Try to fight yourself back into the game. That's what we did. We got already two big chances, which we didn't score. Then Chelsea was on a counter-attack a few times, very threatening. And then when we scored the 2-1, you were like, let's see if there's something in it. But I don't think there was a moment where we were close to scoring a goal. And in the end, a correct penalty being given, and Chelsea won it 3-1. So maybe the opposite from the home game, where they dominated possession and we won. Now it was the opposite.
The difference Dominic made when he came on, I mean, sometimes it feels like your pressing relies on him. Do you think, in hindsight, that perhaps it was the midfielder you lost the game in the end? Because I feel like Harvey struggled a little bit.
Nah, it's never about one player. But one of the qualities Dom definitely has is the intensity he presses with. So you can come up with all the tactics in the world, but it's always the intensity of the press that makes the difference. It doesn't matter what I come up with, but if we are intense, it's so difficult to play through us. And one of the qualities Dominic has is definitely the pressing part, and that's why he played so much this season as well.
And I want to know, why did Federico Chiesa not get more minutes, and is he in your plans going forward?
Because I decided to bring other players in first, because I already brought Darwin in. So that wasn't the position I could bring him in. And then Cody Gakpo, I liked him a lot today, played a really good game, and I've changed him, so took him out in the last few weeks many times already. And Mo is always a player that can score a goal, so that's why I first made different substitutions. And in the end, I would almost say, like people expect from me over here, is that we take an extra risk, so get a defender out, bring Federico in. That also led to us scoring a goal, but not enough time left for him to make the difference, unfortunately.
Did any impact on already being champions or rotating your team affect your performance today? Do you think that had an impact?
That we will never know. But I think what we also saw today, a lot of things, what we've seen throughout the whole season, us playing through the high press of the opponent so many times, so many moments that we arrived in the final third. But I also saw us defending today, not that I'm used to that always, so the last percentages over there were not of our normal standards. And in the final third, if we come there so many times, normally we are able to create more chances. So that could mean two things. Either Chelsea did well in both boxes, which they did, but I think it tells us also a little bit about us. So in general, good performance, but the final percentages weren't there to win this game of football. The lead up to both goals, a player of us slipped. So would that have happened as well if the game was on the line? Yes or no, we will never know. But the margins are small in the Premier League, especially if you play a team like Chelsea with so many quality players, then you cannot afford these kind of moments.
Arne, you got the guard of honour from Chelsea, but their fans did seem so impressed. There was a bit of booing, wasn't there? Was that disappointing from your point of view?
They didn't like the team then, or what?
Huh?
They didn't like their team? They booed for their team?
No, I think they were booing the guard of honour.
They were booing for us. I didn't hear it, to be honest. So I only heard our fans during almost the whole game. And I just heard that they couldn't come here with train, so they had to go by car. But they were in time, and they were loud throughout the whole game. So I haven't heard anyone booing. I've only heard our fans singing.
Congratulations, you've won the league. What have you and your players learnt over the season that you can take forward to next year and possibly into Europe and win something there?
That the margins are small. And that's been throughout the whole season in the games we've won, and today again as well. So you slip twice, you can see two goals. Paris Saint-Germain, incredible game, maybe the best game of our season at home, where we dominated the second half. We were just waiting for us to score a goal, which we didn't. Then, because players got tired, I had to make quite a lot of substitutions. We were lucky to end up taking the penalties. And yeah, talking about small margins, losing the penalty shootout, and they are now in the semi-final and we are out. So yes, we all have quality players. Chelsea has them, City has them, Arsenal has them, Villa has them. City, do I forget a few up there? We have so many in this league. and we have them as well. But the margins are small, so that's why you have to work so hard every 3 days to get so many points on board. And that's what we did this season, and if we want to have any chance of competing next season, that is the minimum we need again.
I'm just asking for Chelsea a threat for next season, you think?
I expected them to be a threat this season, because they were at Anfield. They were better than us, they were so close to us, so it was a complete surprise to me that we are now 18 points clear of them, something like that. I didn't feel that at all coming when we played them. So that tells you how well we did, probably, if a team like this with so much quality, and also not only in the first 11 but in the complete squad, we are able to be 18 points ahead of them, is a big compliment for our players.
That is it for today's episode of The Reaction. We will be back, of course, once again next Sunday, though, with analysis and interviews from Anfield after Liverpool take on Arsenal. Until then, if you haven't already, please do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop. Yeah.